Amen. Right. Well, it's good again to have Brother House with us tonight. Amen. And Brother House, you come on and speak to us. And he generally don't speak as long tonight, but take what you want.
Thank you.
You will.
Exodus chapter 20 and Luke chapter 16, please. Exodus chapter 20 and Luke chapter 16. It's amazing how these pastors will put you in a box. You know, he started on Sunday morning. Said, now Wednesday night. He don't preach long, about 10 minutes. And then he come tonight, said, now he won't preach long. Now go as long as you want.
Amen.
Which means anything over 10 minutes, I'm dead meat. You know? So. So what I'm going to do is just hit the delete button. You can delete most of what I say anyway, and it wouldn't change anything. But Sunday, or I guess today's Wednesday, Monday, I started talking about 10 principles of financial stability to help get you mess back in order. And we talked about thou shalt honor the Lord first, and used verse 3 of Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We talked about principle number 2, thou shalt not try to acquire happiness with material things, no idols, can't do that. And number 3, thou shalt not be unthankful for whatever standard of living the Lord is currently providing for you. And it's interesting what you'll hear. Someone says, well, now, preacher, I'm tithing, I'm giving, and I'm still in debt. My finance is still a mess. And I understand, because there are other financial principles that go along with that, and that's what we're looking at now. So principle number 4, if you would, thou shalt be a good steward. Thou shalt be a good steward. Look at verse 8 of Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Someone said, what does that have to do with being a good steward? Well, we started Sunday talking about stewardship's more than just money. Steward of our time. And there that Sabbath day is, the Lord's day, and it's still holy. And we're still to keep it holy, but we don't do a very good job of it, it seems like. But our time, our treasure, our talent, we have to steward all three of those things. We must be good stewards, and nobody else can do what you can with what you have. Nobody else. You read Matthew 25 sometime, not tonight, 10 minutes. And there's the parable of the stewards. And God gave 1 5 and 1 2 and 1 1. You remember that? I wouldn't try to figure that out if I were you. I'd just say God gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. And the 5 and the 2 double theirs, and the other one hid his because he heard the Lord was a hard taskmaster. And when he came back, one had doubled his, one had doubled his. And the one that had 1 returned it to the Lord and was proud of keeping it safe and hadn't lost it. And you know, the Lord just chewed him out good. Maintaining is not what it's all about in the Christian life. It's constantly increasing, going forward. See, you'll get no commendation for maintaining. And the interesting part is, when you go to Matthew 25 sometime, verse 29, he said, I'm going to take that one you've got, and guess what he's going to do with it? He's going to give it to the one that's got 10. And that just confirms what we've all known all the time, doesn't it? The rich get richer, and the poor get poorer. Come on now, that's just what some think. That's kind of dumb, by the way. That's not what it is. God is interested in poor people. Matter of fact, there are 3 very simple, specific ways you can get God's attention if you want to. I mean, it's not that difficult at all. You take care of the poor, the orphans, and the widows. And you'll get God's... I mean, if you do it with a pure heart, because that's what you need to do, that's the right thing to do, then God's going to get in on that. See, the truth of that thing of... it's not the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It's a principle of God taking from the bad steward and giving it to the good steward. That's the Bible principle. And that's the reason you need to be a good steward. See, God's saying, give me somebody I can channel my stuff through. You're in Luke 16. Let me read you. Are you turn there? Let me read you something over there. Luke chapter 16. And very interesting material here. Look at verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. What God's saying, you know, if I can't trust you with a little, I sure can't trust you with a lot. Pretty simple, isn't it? Just pretty simple stuff all the way down. And you come on down to verse 11, and it says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit unto your trust the true riches? See, all good stewards do three things. I'll give to you very quickly. They spend wisely, they save, and they give. All good stewards do that. I think we'd have to say Sam Walton must have been a pretty good steward of some sort, because he sure did well. And until the day he died, he rode around an old pickup truck. It's in his museum up there in Bentonville now, there by his old scarred-up desk, you know. You just spend wisely. That's number one. And then you'll never be a good steward unless you save. I already talked about it, you know. It's a lie to say I'm living by faith and I don't need savings. The wise man said, that's a fool. Someone said, well, do you think a person ought to have a savings account? No. I think you ought to have five. You could do it all in one, but you have to break it up. Listen very carefully now. Five things you ought to be saving for. Number one, you ought to be saving for what you want and stop buying on credit. Save for what you want. And when you have enough money to buy it, then buy it. Number two, save for what you need. I don't know how to tell you this, but your vehicle's going to wear out. You're going to need another one. And you're going to the finance company again, and they're going to get better off, and you're going to get worse off. Number three, save for emergencies. You know, everybody needs a buffer for emergencies. Someone said, well, I'm just living for the Lord. I don't have emergencies. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And you will have emergencies. You need to save for it. And the number four, you need to save for the future. This is really going to be a shock to you. You're going to get old if you live. I know, you never thought about that. You better save. And here's the biggie. You ought to save some just for giving. You ever... every once in a while, a Christian ought to just do something big time for God, just because he wants to. I can remember, Brother Henderson can a whole lot better than I can, back in the early days of the BBL, one of the big things was the Christmas offering. And man, folks would do their tithing and their offering, but they'd save up for the Christmas offering. They'd give some big offerings, you know. But you just have to be a good steward, that's what I'm saying. Fifth principle. Thou shalt not teach thy family that having and spending money is the answer to problems. You just don't want to teach them that. Look at verse 12, if you would, of Exodus chapter 20. Honor thy father and thy mother. Someone says, what does that have to do with thou shalt not teach thy family that having and spending money is the answer to problems? Well, most kids get their spending, their financial ways from their mom and daddy. They do. Young people who are taught right do try to honor their mother and father, and so they watch very carefully what their mother and daddy do with their money, and that's what they're going to do with their money. And the amen's just running across the building. See, they develop their financial management by watching their mom and daddy. And if you don't do a good job with your money, they're going to think that you're teaching them that hanging on to that money is the answer to your problems. And it's not. Not all. Look in Luke 6 again, verse 13. No man can serve two masters, for he'll hate the one and love the other. For else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now we basically, when we talk about mammon, we're talking about material things. But if you pursue it a little bit, mammon was the Assyrian god of riches. Another god. Can't serve both of them, you see. And here's the deal. Mammon, regardless of how you describe it or how you define it, mammon promises us things that only God can do. And that's the whole key to the whole thing, you see. Because we hear this stuff somewhere in our little mind. If I just had a little more money, people would respect me. And if I had a little more money, people would pay attention and listen when I talk. And if I had a little more money, then I would have security. No, you can't serve God and mammon. And mammon is looking for servants. I mean, he's out there looking. And if you teach your children that money is the answer when they grow up, here's what they're going to do. They're going to serve mammon, and they will not serve God. Let me give you the last one. Boy, I'm doing good. I've got 3 minutes. This one is a 30-minute one. I'm going to do it in 3 minutes. And it'd probably take an hour and a half by looking at you, because most of you are dozing right now. Thou shalt take time to budget, plan, and set goals for your finances. Okay. Yeah. Glory. Verse 13, Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not kill. And if you're living without a budget, it's certain death financially. I mean, you're going to murder yourself financially if you're trying to do it, you see. No budget, just killing yourself, you see. Every month, not enough money. Can't get the bills paid. Fretting and fuming and worrying and cutting years off your life because you won't budget and live by the budget. Somebody says, well, I intend to, but then something comes up. I know, something always comes up. Impulse buying. Here's the deal. You get a budget, a goal for your finances. See, all a budget is a map for your finances of where you're going. And you begin to follow it. You got to keep your eye on the goal. But Mr. Budget will get you out of a lot of trouble. See, if you've got a budget and you'll stick with it, then budget will make emotional decisions for you, non-emotional decisions for you, based on very emotional issues. Here, guys, watch it. Your wife comes to you and she says, honey, I saw this thing. It doesn't matter what it is. And I just got to have it. Honey, if you love me, I really do want it. Well, what are you going to say? She done said, if you love me. But if you've got a budget, here's what you do. You say, darling, you know very well, if it were up to me, you'd have it before dark. But let's ask Mr. Budget. Oh, baby, I am so sorry. Mr. Budget says no. See, Mr. Budget will make those very emotional decisions, non-emotionally. He don't care whether she loves you or not. And she can't blame you because she was in. Ladies, by the way, work the same for you. When he gets ready to go golfing, to get some exercise, and he pays $20 for a cart to ride in. Help me with that. All right. But see, most folks don't have a budget. They don't have a map. They don't know where they're going financially. They know where they want to go, don't know how to get there. You've got to have a map, you see. And you can get some help, but you've got to have a goal, and you've got to keep your eye on it. Pro basketball is a good example. You know what the purpose of running up and down the court's for, don't you? Put the basket in the goal. Put the ball in the basket. To score. You ever watch one of those giants running down the floor dribbling? They're not really looking at everybody else. It's in their peripheral vision, but that's not what they're looking at. They're not watching every time they dribble the ball and do that and all that other stuff. You know what they keep their eye on? The goal. because you're never going to score if you can't keep your eye on the goal. And that's just what a Christian needs to do. And the reason most of us never ask for help financially, we don't want nobody to see the mess we're in. I mean, you can just see yourself going in for help, and the guy says, well, let me see your checkbook. And you give him your checkbook, and he looks at it a few minutes, and he says, Bill, come here. You're not going to believe this. And, you know, I mean, you don't want that to happen, do you? But if you get sick enough, you'll tell the doctor everything. And you need to do it. Listen, remember this now, and I'm through. Remember, financial problems cause marriage problems. They cause emotional problems. They cause physical problems. They'll get you angry with God and upset with God and out of church and messed up in general. I'm just telling you, get some help. Get someone to help, some Christian who understands biblical giving to help you. And every good steward somewhere has had someone to guide them along on some Bible principles that maybe they didn't get themselves. All right. Now, there are three more of these things somewhere. They were promised for Wednesday night. Didn't get them. But someday, y'all stay well, I'll come back. You got some good business to take care of tonight. Take care of it well. Good stewards. I appreciate it. I give Brother Eric such a hard time. I'm very grateful for his friendship. And this church has supported our ministry for, I guess, not near all its life. And we're very appreciative of it. Thank you for having us. But I want you to understand, this is very personal. You get yourself straightened out financially so you can be what God would have you to be. I'm going to pray, ask the pastor to come and take charge of the closing part of this service. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the admonishment to be good stewards. May that be the goal of each of us, that you'd be honored and glorified, and that we'd make progress, forward movement in your work. In Jesus' name.